Listen, the copy says if your dog could talk, this is the thing. Monty be talking.
Hello.
All right. Your dog communicates to you. You know when you've had your dog or your puppy for a long time, you start getting those cues as to what they like and what they don't like. And what I'm trying to say is that when you see their excitement and their grin and their smile at you and you just know they're communicating, Mama, I like this, that this is going to be Ollie. Okay, every single time it's going to be Ollie. Why? Why is your dog going to like Ollie? Because it's clean. It's fresh nutrition in 5 drool-worthy flavors, even for the pickiest eaters. Made in U.S. kitchen with the highest quality human-grade ingredients. Ollie Pet contains no fillers, no preservatives, just real food. And here's the thing, healthier food means a happier pup. Shinier coats, more energy, better poops, and more excitement at mealtime. And your dog will say these things to you. You just gotta listen, all right? Just open your ears, open your eyes. You will give your dog this Ollie Pet, and all of a sudden you will see them communicating to you, I really like this, I want you to keep getting it, okay? All you're gonna do is take a 30-second quiz, and they'll create a customized meal plan based on your pup's weight, activity level, and health info. Listen to me, black people. Listen to me. You can't just give your dog whatever you want that you want them to have. There actually is like prescribed amounts of food they should have based on their weight. Y'all didn't know that. Y'all just be doing what you want. That's why you need this. So it takes that guesswork out for you, okay? You don't want an overweight dog that leads to health problems, all right? So get your welcome kit for any first-timers. Ollie will send out your pup's first box with 2 weeks worth of meals, free storage containers for mess-free serving, and a guide of how to gradually switch them over to their new diet. All right. Ollie offers 3 meal plans to choose from, so you can choose between full fresh topper or a meal mixed or a mixed plan with freshly baked recipes for your special fur baby. They have treats and supplements. Ollie is one of a kind, just like your pup. Ollie is the only fresh dog food that comes with unlimited routine health screening, so you can get your pup on track to live their healthiest, happiest life. Dogs deserve the best. That means fresh, healthy food. Head to Ollie.com/GJ. Tell them about your dog and use code GJ to get 60% off your welcome kit when you subscribe today. Plus, they offer a happiness guarantee on the first box. So if you're not completely satisfied, you'll get your money back. That's Ollie, OLLIE.com/GJ, and enter code GJ to get 60% off your first box.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hi, I'm Melissa.
And I'm Mel.
Girl, let me tell you, I only had maybe a little less than half of that drink.
When you're drinking, you just gotta drink more.
I am a strongly worded email.
Actually, that feels in line, though.
That is not true.
No, listen. And every now and again, when somebody get out of line, you just yell, pop the trunk.
I'm the juice to her gin. Did we hit record?
Is it working? Is it on?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Gin Juice Podcast. My name is Melissa.
My name is Mel.
And we're real life sisters. We on this podcast every single week talk about what the heck we want to talk about. Yes, this was the cold open. We want to thank our sponsors.
Absolutely. Little Spoon, Ollie Pet, Earnin, and Revolve.
Ooh, we got four.
Folk.
Hey, all right then. Thank you so much. You'll hear more about them later on in the episode. If you're new here, we start every week with a segment we like to call Long Story Short, kind of catch you up on some of the things that happened over the course of the week.
Blessed, honey.
How was your week?
You can go, because I didn't do...
You know...
Most weeks I don't do anything. This segment is for Melissa. She has a much more interesting life than I have. If you haven't realized that at this point of the podcast, I be at home watching Trials and arguing with Micaiah. Literally, that's my life. Literally. Those are my stories. What you been doing, girl? Watching Rocky ASAP. That's it. Okay.
What you are arguing with Micaiah about?
Everything. Everything. Although I will say, I was just telling Listus maybe yesterday, one of these days, because Greg is Greg. If you're new here and you don't know him, he's another person I argue with all the time. I don't know if he don't like the girl's teacher. He had some kind of issue with the teacher at Micaiah school. So he didn't went to the front desk. And I guess after he dropped her off, when did they leave? Whatever day. I think it was Thursday. It must have been Thursday. He dropped her off Thursday. And before he left from dropping her off, he gonna stop by the front desk and say, "Excuse me, if there's somebody I need to report, how do I do that?" So I don't know what the lady tells him. He comes home and he's like, "I just want you to know that I asked about this." So when I go to pick her, now mind you, he didn't went on tour now. So I have to go pick her up and drop her off the rest of the days of the week. I go in on Thursday. They didn't pull me into the office. Hey, mom. We just, you know, your husband was here and he didn't tell us who, but we just want to make sure everything's good. I'm like, "Yeah, girl, it's all right." Friday morning, I drop her off. Another teacher has pulled me into the office. "Hey, I just want to say, Greg, you're the dad. He said something. And we want to make sure you guys are so happy. So if there's anything," I said, "if there's something, he going to tell you, because he going to have to tell you, honey." I pick her up on Friday and another teacher has now also asked me. I said, "Well, look what you have started. You didn't set this fire and then went on tour.
That is unfair."
And everybody in this school is now looking at me like, "This, something happened with this." Mind you, the person he has an issue with has been great to me. So I can't even like properly articulate what the problem is, because, "Sir, I need you to go tell these people why you want to report her, because she nice to me. She ain't never said that sideways." So anyway, those are the people I argue with in my household.
It's so funny because it's so unfair to be like, "Hey, you piss me off."
Yes.
Yes. So I do want to formally complain about it, but it's not going to be today.
Yes, literally. He's like, "Oh, I'm not going to
do it. I'm not going to give you any details.
I just want to know what the process is in the event I want to." And didn't say the name or nothing. So now they're all like, "Who is it, girl?"
They're on pins and needles.
Good luck.
You know it's a bunch of women in there. But like, "Yes, did you say? Do yes. you know?"
She only got the three H's. Teachers. So it's one of y'all three.
Oh, that's so funny. I didn't do nothing either. I was at home this week.
Joe's homecoming.
Joe did go to homecoming. He burned a hole in his shirt. Did I show you?
No.
Girl. Josiah, I got him this cute little top. Oh, I need to make sure I give you that stuff back. Oh, uh-huh. Yeah. So I got him this cute little top, but the fabric was like not cotton. I don't know what it was. So Joe is on this like ironing kick. He probably likes some little girl at school or something.
Come on and iron.
Yeah, because he's been on this little ironing kick here lately. And one thing about Josiah, he's putting them clothes on and moving on about his business. So the fact that he's even like, "Where's the iron?"
We like it.
What do you mean, "Where's the iron?" I'm so confused. You've been wrinkled your whole life. Literally. So he is ironing this shirt and he has it full all the way over. And so he calls me upstairs and there is a hole because he done burned a hole in the shirt. And I was like, "This isn't an ironable shirt." this not that. And why are you even at the iron? You've been ironing it every day. I'm so confused. Oh my gosh. So I'm like, "Oh, you gonna have to tuck it, because it's too late. It's an hour." So I literally took the shirt, tucked it all the way in, because it was like on the seam on the side. But it didn't show. We put that little belt on, and he was good to go. But yeah, he went to homecoming. He had a really good time. He had the little date situation, but he said it was just a little friend girl, not a girlfriend. You know, black people, we love a little friend girl. Situation. I did not post the pictures. Joe can be really like private and like precious about stuff like that. He gets a little bit uncomfortable, and so I did send it to the family, but I didn't post it. But he had a good time. He said the DJ was whack.
Oh.
He hates, well, it warranted, it's very valid, but he doesn't like a house music version of songs.
Oh.
And so I was like, "Why was it whack?" He was like, "The DJ's whack." I was like, "Well, what were they doing?" Playing the house music version of like Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
And so he's just like, you know, he's just kind of like over it and he's out. So anyway, yeah, that happened this week. We decided... Two things have happened this week. Okay, let me give you some holiday updates.
Melissa made cookies with marshmallows on it. It was just a bunch of sugar for my children. Micaiah was on a level I've never met. Oh, I thought that's what you about to start. You're talking about holiday. Come over because we're going to decorate the front yard and make chocolate chip marshmallow chocolate chip cookies. I was like, and Kai's just like, when the cookies coming? Oh, you gotta make the cookies? Titi, where's the cookies? And then she just ran around the house the whole day. She would not stop. I was like, bruh, please. I'm trying to make a video.
Oh my God. It's gracious. This is Mills Not Lying. On Pinterest, I found this recipe where you can have these chocolate chip cookies and you put a marshmallow on top and like...
it's a ghost.
Yeah. And what is it? It's melted white chocolate. And so it looks like the ghost is melting into the chocolate chip cookies. They're like super cute. And so while we were making them, Micaiah, this little girl is so funny. She got that sweet tooth for daddy.
Yes.
So every time she's putting the marshmallow on top of the thing, she purposely makes sure to swoop up a little bit of the white chocolate on her finger so she can eat it. Every cookie. So then as they're setting, because I have to set, right? She's like, can I have some? Mill, tell me some. Patience!
Because she be telling me patience.
Where is your patience? Micaiah's like, I don't know, girl, because I want these cookies. When they were done, Micaiah had, what, three of them?
Too many.
The whole thing. The chocolate chip cookie, the white chocolate, and the marshmallow that we dipped in the white chocolate.
It's sugar.
It was overload sugar. It was a lot. Even the cookie, I was like, why do we eat these? Because I didn't feel like making the homemade. That's what the kids, they'd be like, let's make them. I didn't have the energy for all that. So we got them cut and baked ones. Them jokers are sweet than a mug.
They are so sweet.
Oh my God, they're so sweet. So anyway, that wasn't the update. We just did that for this. We've decided that what we're going to do is a Halloween party for the kids. Okay. And the theme is going to be Beetlejuice. Because I was online and I'd be inspired by all y'all TikToks. I'm deep in DIY TikTok, okay? So Mel's going to do the games. This is why I have to tell y'all, because Mel be trying to act like she doesn't know she's volunteered for the games.
I've been volunteered.
Yes, because every time Mel does the games, that's part of the tradition.
There are no games for Halloween.
Yes, there are. They're going to be in costume. That makes it Halloween. It doesn't matter.
I'm going to make them Halloween. Do my buzzers because I still have them.
What was I about to say? Anyway, that's the Halloween thing. I'm very excited. We got Amara, who is Joshua's fiance.
Hey.
She's going to make Beetlejuice themed cookies. And I'm so excited about
it.
Like,
good.
I think it's going to be so great. It's so cute. I don't know how, like, full on decor I'm going to go because I really don't have a lot of time to do it. But that's what we're going to do for Halloween. I'm very excited. And then for Christmas, I found this TikTok where the girl turned her staircase into like a Whoville cartoon thing. It's so cool. So I sent it to the group chat like, we need to do this. So I talked to Natalie, who's my event planner. I was like, tell me again what the plan is right here, because this is what I want to do. And she told me. I was like, oh, okay. So now we're going to do it at Mel's house. So what you do is it's the same foam that I use for the Joe's cutouts, and you make like the spindles for your staircase, and then you add them so they're all like squiggly, you know, so it looks cartoony, and then you put the cap on it, and I got to figure this part out because I don't really know how to do the reef part that well, but it's okay. And then you could do it on your window. I should show y'all a picture. Anyway, I'm very excited about it, and since I can't do it at my house, we're going to carry the Grinch theme.
I don't know how that happened. Don't ask me how my house got involved in the Grinch. I didn't even plan on putting up a Christmas tree, okay? I was very anti-Christmas. I was like, oh, Melissa's doing Christmas. I don't have to deal with any of this. Mm-mm. So my house will be plain. Now I'm going to have Grinch stairs.
She said I'm giving little sister vibes. Y'all don't actually understand. The reason why I just say what's going to happen is because actually I'm the big sister. That's actually very much how you are automatically roped into what I want to do.
Which has very also turned much. Into Greg being roped in because he's the one who has to construct it.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
Hey, this is the idea.
Every group thing, I'd be like, so when are we going to do this?
Literally, my text said, who is the we in this sentence? Is that you and Greg? Because I'm excluded from we's.
Yeah. Yeah, y'all don't. Y'all, listen, one thing, exactly. One thing about being a big sister, you really, you're like orchestrating. That's all you're really doing.
Bossy.
Yeah, you're just orchestrating everything that happens. So I have the vision, and then these are your roles to execute what I have in my head.
Voluntold. There it is.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that you're told to do. No, I'm just kidding. That's not a good transition. I just want to talk about the first sponsor of this episode, and that is Little Spoon. You know that moment when it's almost 6 p.m., the kids are hungry, and you're staring into the fridge holding half a snack pouch, two grapes, and zero dinner plans? Well, I've been there more times than I'd like to admit, and it turns out that parenthood doesn't come with a meal plan. That's why I've stopped stressing over last-minute meals and started using Little Spoon, today's episode sponsor. They deliver real food for babies, toddlers, and big kids straight to your door, so mealtime actually feels easy. We got Little Spoon in order, and my kids have loved it. It has actually been such a save. They have chicken Dunkers Lunchers. This sounds like a chicken Dunkers Lunchers, which Micaiah has fell in love with. So they also have these fruit rippers, and so it's like a fruit strip essentially, but you can rip off the different pieces. Micaiah has absolutely fallen in love with these. They've been her like snack time after school.
Aww.
She just goes straight to the fridge and has been eating them. She absolutely loves them. The recipes are made with pediatricians, packed with hidden veggies, and somehow my kids still ask for seconds. Everything made with real ingredients, no artificial flavors, sweeteners, or dyes. It's the rare combo of convenience and healthy. Plus, having their meals and snacks show up on my doorstep every 2 weeks. Yes, please. Whether it's breakfast on the floor or dinner in the backseat, Little Spoon frees up time for the things that really matter without compromising on ingredients. Mealtimes are one less thing to think about. As we know, that's what we need. That is golden for us. And something else to mention is that Little Spoon is now in Target. So on your next diaper run, you can also grab baby and kid snacks, pouches, yogurt smoothies, and bars. Plus, Target has an exclusive frozen line. Think their cult favorite chicken nuggets, meatballs, and sliders. Find them in the snack and freezer aisles. We are obsessed. Little Spoon is the mealtime hack parents can't stop talking about. Try their no-prep, nutrient-packed meals and snacks for babies, toddlers, and big kids. So get 50% off of your first online order at littlespoon.com/GJ50.
GJ50.
With code GJ50 at checkout. That's Little Spoon, littlespoon.com/GJ50. And don't forget to use our show's code for 50% off your first order. And I like literally, I promise you, Micaiah, my children are in love, and it has made like after school snacking in particular really easy for me. So use our code and you'll enjoy it.
All right. Before we move into Pop the Trunk, do you want to talk about this Aisha Curry a little bit and then do it? So Aisha Curry was recently on the Call Her Daddy podcast with one of the White Alexes. Which one did we just say? Alex Cooper. And
I thought it was Early or something.
So Earl is the one that's on Dancing with the Stars.
Okay.
And that's why I get them confusion. There's two very popular Alexes on the internet right now. One is Alex Cooper. She is the podcast host. Apparently, she's been doing this podcast since 2018 because Mel had never heard of this woman.
Never heard of this show.
But
this
she woman. Literally None has of one things. Of the biggest, like, white female audience podcasts.
And I just need to understand how, hey, Alexes that are popular with podcasts, how did y'all do it? Is there a playbook? Just tap me in because I want to understand. But okay.
This Alex.
Everybody is tuned in to watching this. Is it weekly?
Well.
And it's just, it's interview style?
I've only watched two podcasts, so I don't know. I watched the one she did with Hoda.
She did one with Hoda?
Yes, after the name of that show is Love Island.
Why did she get to do one with her?
Because she is huge.
All right.
She did one with Aunt. No, that's not true. Actually, I listened to three podcasts. She had Kamala Harris on her podcast.
Kamala!
Sure did. I listened to that one. I listened to Hoda. And I listened. I got 20 minutes left. And I listened to Zaisha Curry.
Who is her audience, you said? Who's listening? What are
women.
I need her demo.
Her demographic is white women.
Huh.
The whites be listening, and they were pissed off about her about that Kamala interview because they all thought she was conservative.
Oh, and
then she basically kind of outed herself and, you know, women's rights and all these things, and they was upset with her.
I need to listen. I need to go back and watch the early episodes.
Oh, and she did. Oh, actually, I didn't know that. They said she had Cardi B, she had Ciara, she had Amaya.
She's the one who did that Cardi interview recently? With Cardi in the little schoolgirl outfit? I didn't watch it. I've only seen Cardi in a schoolgirl outfit.
She did just recently have Cardi B on.
Is that her in the schoolgirl outfit? And she had the glasses outfit, on. And she had the little, it was, she did it.
She sure did.
Who is she?
So
why her?
So she has a little bit of a documentary. I didn't finish it. I was actually just more kind of curious because I was just understanding who this woman was. She has a doc on one of them streamers, child. And from my understanding, or from what I remember, she started with a partner, like a co-host.
Okay.
But what kind of like separated her was she had a like how to give a really great blowjob
episode.
That, it was like her whole that was her shtick. Yeah. Like that was her thing. Yes, it was very raunchy, yeah. Very sexual, very like I give the best blowjobs and I'm gonna teach you how. And then now she's here. I don't know. I don't listen, Cat Williams say I don't know the recipe. It just grows like that.
Is that the playbook? I'm so confused how.
Okay, all right, I'm out. Forget it. I won't get it. So
yeah, you probably won't.
I don't
get
need
it.
To.
Yeah. So
shout out to her for being able to be successful after being great at giving blowjobs.
Correct. Okay. And I think the podcast host, the co-host is gone. I don't know what happened to her, but she ain't here no more. And now it's just this girl. And she be touring and she be making that money.
I was going to say, it looks like she gets millions of views.
100%. 100%. I didn't know she had all them other people.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. They were on Horrible Decisions.
Oh, these two, the original co-hosts were on Horrible Decisions before?
When the early days of Horrible Decisions, they had the two co-hosts of Call Her Daddy on, or they were the Horrible Decisions before Horrible Decisions was Horrible Decisions. Does that make sense? I don't know who came first.
Horrible Decisions is still around, isn't it?
They're called Decisions now, but yes, they are still around.
Okay.
Low-key, though, I feel like Horrible Decisions was first. I feel like I remember listening to Horrible Decisions way before 2018. Matter of fact, I know for a fact Horrible Decisions was here before 2018. 2018 was not that long ago, and I was listening to Horrible Decisions. They were on Horrible Decisions, which makes sense with my timeline.
Okay.
That Horrible Decisions predates them.
Wow.
Because I used to listen to Horrible Decisions in their early days. And I was still, if I wasn't leaving at Boeing, moving here, it was the early days when I first moved to L.A. And we've been here for 10 years. Yeah.
She's, they're on Black Effect now? Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Horrible Decisions is on, and that's how I was introduced to them. When the early days of The Read and Brilliant Idiots and Horrible Decisions and Combat, they all used to rotate.
Got it.
Y'all know I'm a OG podcast listener. I was listening to podcasts a long, long time. Someone said they've been running around for 8 years, which makes sense. That means I was probably already in here. LA. Yeah. Anyway, she was on and I haven't seen the clips. I've watched the interview. Save for the last 20 minutes, but I've seen the discourse surrounding this interview. I'm going to be really honest. If you have an opinion based on the clips, I would advise you to watch the interview because it's not
that.
it's not a lot of hoopla. It's really not. Like, it, there is nothing she is saying that is provocative. Mm. There's nothing. Like, what did you think of it?
I agree. But I started fast forwarding a little bit. I'm going to be honest. I did.
I put things in 1.25 to 1.5 mode.
I should have. The clip that I saw going viral, I think I did watch that part, though. And it just seemed like the lead, it actually reminded me of a conversation I feel like we were having not too long ago.
Literally, Melanie.
And I was like, I don't know why it's so bad.
This woman is talking about, you know what she's talking about?
Being more than just the mom.
I'm going to tell you.
And having the ambition of wanting to be more than just the mom. And this is what we were talking about. We were talking about the Cardi B thing. And what we said was there are some women, people who dream of being a mother or a parent or whatever, and they are okay with wrapping their identity in that. There are other people who that is not who they are. They don't want to wrap their identity in that. And so when you because becoming a mom can be so all consuming, it can feel like you have lost yourself outside of motherhood. And so it sounded like she was just saying that's what happened, and she has a desire to do other things than just be Stephen Curry's wife and the mother of his kids.
Literally.
That's okay.
This is what I want y'all to know. This is the long and the short of the conversation. We teach girls to shrink themselves to make themselves smaller.
To make themselves smaller.
We say to girls, you can have ambition.
But not too much.
You should aim to be successful, but not too successful. Otherwise, you will threaten the man.
Otherwise, you guys know the Beyonce song.
Because I am female, I am expected to aspire to marriage.
Yeah.
I am expected to make my life choices, always keeping in mind that marriage is the most important. Now, marriage can be a source of joy and love and mutual support, but why do we teach girls to aspire to marriage and we do not teach boys the same?
Oh, it did finish. They finished that whole thing. Yeah, yeah.
And the fact that a woman is simply articulating that I have ambition, that I have dreams, and that I aspire to be more than, and mind you, again, watch the whole interview, she's not knocking marriage. She's not knocking motherhood. She's not like being condescending. She's not regretful even. She's simply saying she got married really young. And before she got married, I wasn't the little girl that, you know, these fairy tales that they put in and socialize women to young girls that you need to imagine your wedding and going down the aisle. I wasn't playing wife as a kid. That wasn't me either. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. So she's saying she had dreams and ambitions before she got with Steph. She got with Steph. He becomes this mega star. She gets pregnant really early after they get married. Mm-hmm. And she's like immediately without thought. She literally without thought. Let all of that go and assumes the role of mother and wife.
Yeah.
She gets a little bit older and she's like, huh. Actually, I wanted to do more than this. Mm-hmm. I have an entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah.
I'm a smart girl. I've always wanted to work.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Kimberly River said, it's basically shut up and dribble, except for women. It's hush and tend to your husband and kids. Amen.
And be grateful that you have a husband.
Yeah.
And be grateful that you got kids.
Yeah.
And don't let the man have some money.
Oh, man.
You don't even have to work.
Oh, my gosh.
But what if I wanted to?
But what if I want to?
When I, Kev loves to say, he'd just be making the joke, but I need y'all to know I pay for that wedding. Okay? I need y'all to know. Because it was important to me.
Right.
I was raised by two people that didn't have much.
Yeah.
And they made sure to tell me and my sisters, contribute to your household.
Yeah.
Make sure you always got income. And that's in me strong. And I don't care what the internet have to say about it. Mm-hmm. There's a work ethic in me that won't allow me to not do. It just is the reality and the truth of the situation. And the problem is misogyny and sexism will say, your husband make money. Why can't you just sit down and do nothing? And then y'all, them same people will turn around and call you a gold digger.
Yeah, huh? You don't do nothing.
You don't do nothing.
Y'all want me to work or you don't? I don't know what to do. Because it's going to come either way. It don't matter. You can't make folks happy.
You really can't.
You can't.
You really can't.
And especially at the beginning, she tells the story of how they met. Oh, it was so sweet.
It seems like she likes the man. Everybody is convinced she hates him. And I'm like, I think she actually likes him.
Melanie, what I found to be fascinating.
He clearly loves her.
Fascinating. She said, I wish I could relive our first date.
First date. I wish I could watch it from a bird's eye view. It was just so cute and romantic and young. I was like, oh, she loves him.
And the clip about him not understanding
was so relatable.
Kevin Fredericks doesn't understand.
I was like,
who? What world are these people living in where
y'all got different men?
A lot of men
where y'all get
are solution oriented. This isn't 100%, but a lot of men are. Where a lot of women, I'm certainly one of them. I will know, for example, I posted on Threads. I deleted it because if I got one more, just use pumpkins. Girl, I had already decided I was going to do that. Thank you for this revolutionary idea. I'm making a joke about, girl, I want to decorate for Halloween. All I see is death and tombstones and skeletons. Ha, ha, ha. This is a joke really about why do you feel this strong conviction?
Yeah.
The church girl in me will not let me put a tombstone out because I feel like it's too close to speaking death over my family and I can't do it. But I really wanted to do... maybe I should have said traditional Halloween stuff. Pumpkin is the fall part. Obviously, I can do that. That's what I decided I was going to do. I wanted to do the mummy thing and and then I was like, girl, I can't do this. I just can't. But you get all of this, like, you can just use a pumpkin. Thank you so much, genius. The point is that I think for people, they think they're helping or they see a little piece. That's where I was going with it. They see a little piece and they don't see the whole picture.
Yeah.
And then they're offering or saying things and it's not true. What she was saying was that she gets commentary online and it hurts her feelings.
Yes.
And as a woman, sometimes she just wants to sit and talk about. And they pissed me off and they said this about me and my feelings are hurt. And I just want to sit here and sulk and be sad and drink a glass of wine and complain. And his energy is, well, it's not true. So who cares? Let's move on about it.
Yes.
That's what she was saying. And he just doesn't understand because sometimes as men, they're like, well, if it's not true, move on.
Yes. Solution based.
They're solution based. Like, delete it and move on.
And move on. And you're like, but my feelings but are still
hurt. But
how
I feel about it is that.
I live this life every day. Well, I mean, it's the reality of being on the internet and being subject to people's thoughts that they want to share with you all the time about you. It's the reality, right? She has those feelings and Steph is like, I got basketball practice at 2. This is not your life. Like, girl, let's go on a yacht tomorrow. Who cares what they're talking about type energy? And she's like, I'll be crying in the yacht because I'm still sad. It's like those and people take that as she hates him. Whatever, child. That's y'all business.
It really is. It's really sad that sometimes I think why can't a woman have feelings that are independent and not a reflection of her man or her relationship? Why do we force the indictment her marriage of her man simply because she said, I never saw my life this way. Mm-hmm. I always saw me as this, this, and this. And for some reason, that becomes she's making her husband look a fool.
Yeah.
Why does this have anything to do with him? Why can't I not be an autonomous, single individual that has goals, dreams, and aspirations that are independent of and not a reflection of what he is doing?
Yeah.
Why do those things? Meanwhile, a man can say he wants to be a CEO.
Yeah.
And climb the ranks and do whatever and have all of the, and there's no indictment of the woman. Well, she ain't doing enough for you. Why do we teach girls to aspire? Like, I don't understand that. And so this conversation, it becomes so
sexist.
Yeah.
Really, it becomes sexist, and almost like women are just a commodity to hold and like to have near you, and not this like independent person.
Yeah.
It's really, it's frustrating, yeah. is what it is. It's really, really, really frustrating. And so for the women out there who, number one, don't want kids, you're not a weirdo. You're not a weirdo for deciding for yourself you don't want children. For the women out there who have children and are asking yourself, man, is there more than motherhood? Mm-hmm. Am I just a mom? Is there something else I can be doing to fulfill what I want to do outside of my children? Because be clear, rearing children is not lifelong. It's a good long, but it's not lifelong. And if you can't see what you want to do, or your life shatters because your children decide to move out, you didn't invest in you.
Yeah, that's true.
And you have to remember that you are a whole individual apart from your children,
yeah.
and apart from your husband. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You will not be shamed into thinking your entire existence needs to be attached to the title of wife and mother.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for the good aunties out there, good for you.
For real. For real.
Let's talk about being an auntie, a paw parent.
Amen.
That's what Joe is. He's a parent, is what we like to call parent. It. He, every time he goes to the store, he buys Monty a toy or some snacks with some child. He is the best parent. And that's because your dogs, they're not just pets. They're part of your family, okay? The other day, let me just tell y'all the story real quick. The other day, I was pulling out of the garage, and somehow Monty followed me out. I didn't see him. And you know, nowadays, when you back up, you have that
camera
mm-hmm. thing. So when I put the car in reverse and the camera popped up, I saw him, like, it's like when you're doing this and you look and you're like, did I see Monty? Yeah. That's what I did. And so because I'm looking, I don't see him. I'm like, oh, that's weird. Maybe I didn't see him.
Oh.
I back up. He's sitting right at the front of the car, staring at me.
Oh.
I could have cussed him out. I could have cussed him out. Because I'm like, do you even realize the danger that you were in?
Oh, man.
And then I would have been the one to end your life?
Yeah. Oh, man, the trauma. Of it all.
Monty, you finna get cussed out. But it makes you realize, like, I love this dog. I really do. Like, he is my family. I love this little puppy so much. When I come through the door, I need to see him. I need to see him happy. I need to see him healthy. And you want to make choices that allow them to be happier and healthier dogs for life. Okay, so wanting the absolute best for my dog is the reason I switched to Ollie. They offer fresh, protein-packed meals made with real human-grade ingredients. And they offer 5 tasty recipes, all slow cook for top nutrition. Number one, food quality. Okay, they have human grade recipes backed by vet nutritionists and crafted with culinary experts. Better experience, tailored meal plans to meet your dog's specific needs. You don't want an overweight dog that can't exercise and do the things. Okay, perfectly portioned, mess free packaging comes with a scoop for easy serving and storage. Pup-tainers for zero fridge stink. Because sometimes dog food stinks. And if you're like me, I can't mm-hmm. do a lot of that smell. I don't like my dog. My house smell like dog. I don't like my refrigerator smell like dog. So I need all them things to be contained. All right. One of a kind technology. The Ollie app offers on-demand health screenings where you can tap real experts for pup peace of mind. Use data from Ollie Pack to develop new recipes and products for your dogs. Monty loves the turkey. He loves turkey, chicken, and he loves seafood. Monty is a salmon. The salmon eating somebody. You hear me? Okay. Your dog's well-being starts with their food, and that's why Ollie delivers fresh human-grade food that your dog will love. Head to ollie.com/GJ. Tell them about your dog, you know, weight, all of that dog, their breed and all of that, so they can get you your customized plan. And use code GJ to get 60% off your welcome kit when you subscribe today. Plus, they offer a happiness guarantee on your first box. So if you're not completely satisfied, you'll get your money back. That's ollie.com/GJ and enter code GJ to get 60% off your first box.
I also want to tell you about Earnin. Life doesn't happen biweekly, so why should payday? The money you've earned should be in your hands, and with Earnin, it can be. Earnin is an app that lets you access your pay as you earn it, up to $150 a day with a max of $750 between paydays. Just download the Earnin app and add your info, then start accessing your pay as you work, and leave an optional tip to help keep the app running for everyone. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Earnin is the app that's helping millions of Americans take charge of their pay and avoid falling into debt traps. So whether it's something for your paw, what did you call it? Your friend, your
paw.
Oh, well, I meant the animal though. So maybe it's something for the animal in your life. The pet. Pet sounds,
oh, yes.
Animal,
yes.
Sounds aggressive. Yes. So maybe it's something you need to do for the pets in your, I don't have pets. So this one don't apply to me. But if you have one, okay, something comes up and now you have to take your pet to the vet. I have more things like a special night out, a little date night, I'm going to meet a friend, or some gas bills, groceries, anything like that that comes up. You can use Earnin to help you. So download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Gin Juice Podcast under podcast. When you sign up, it'll really help the show. That's Gin Juice Podcast under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Access limits are based on your earnings and risk factors. Standard cash outs take 1 to 2 business days with no mandatory fees. Expedited transfers available for a fee. Tips are voluntary and don't affect the service. Available in select states. Terms and restrictions apply. Visit earnin.com for full details. Download Earnin now and take control of your pay.
Last thing I wanted to say, because actually two things I was thinking about. Number one, let me go back to this HOCO. We were in wherever we were, and Mel helped Joe make the, he did a
a sign,
a homecoming proposal
thing.
Or whatever. And so I'm so emotional. Oh my God. It's really bad. But Mel helped him make a little anime, what did it say?
It was
invincible.
Invincible. Help make my homecoming invincible
evening, because it wasn't
my,
it, like
homecoming evening invincible.
Yeah,
because the girl's name is Eve in the movie or the show. I think, yeah. I kept saying movie. He was like, auntie, it's a show.
Yeah, I think it's a show.
I think it's a show.
And so that made me cry. Because I thought it was so sweet.
It was really sweet.
Yeah, it was really sweet.
He had me, oh, go ahead.
Sorry. No, go.
We went to, he came and I was trying to, you know, I didn't want to like overpower and like
it's
take
such
control,
a fine line.
You know?
It's such a fine line.
So I'm like, tell me what your idea is. And so he shows me this picture and I was like, okay, how do you want to execute that idea? Right. And so eventually we get to the point of like, we need to go back to the store because you don't really have all the supplies. So we're going to the store and I keep saying stencils. Like, I'm like, it's going to be big. We shouldn't just handwrite this. So I'm thinking, let's get some stencils. We get to the store and I show him the stencils and he was like, I thought it was going to be like 3D, like coming off the board. And I was like, well, that's not a stencil. I don't know what you're referring to. Now I'm confused. And then he was like, well, since we're here, you think they got lights? And I was like, oh, well, hold on. So now we're searching this Michaels for like 3D come off the paper stencils. Eventually we find some. And then he was trying to do, it was a lot. But anyway, ended up being exactly what he wanted.
Yeah,
I got some
great
jewels at the end. I was like, we should put some jewels. And he was like, I like it plain.
Yeah.
Are you sure? I got these jewels here. That man was like, it's good.
I told Joe that he is an undercover extra.
Yes.
He really is. Like, all Mel is extra too. Don't y'all ever be fooled.
I am definitely.
Mel is extra. And Monique is very extra too.
Yes.
And Joe, he just has undercover extra.
Absolutely.
Because he didn't have to make this sign for this little girl. And he'd be trying to make it real low key, but like, this is a lot. You're asking this girl, you're making a sign? That's kind of a lot, Joe. That was the first thing. Next thing I wanted to say was that, because I know we were talking about the women who don't aspire to be a mother, who don't aspire necessarily to get married. Like, all, you're fine with being an auntie. Those things, I love that for you. Do the things. But I also want to say this, too, because I want to be sure that I leave space for the women who do
aspire to be wives.
Yeah, yeah.
And mothers. And that is very fulfilling to them.
Yeah.
That there's space for you to exist without feeling that we're being condescending towards
100%.
You. Or that you should aspire to more.
Yeah.
There are 4 million, assuming half, women in this world. Yeah. We are not all the same.
Yeah.
And so to assume that my experience is the template for the rest of every is crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And very, like, very self-centered. And so I just want to make sure that there's space for, like, whatever your vision and your life dream looks like, that there's space for you to exist and there's space for you to pivot and change your mind.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. The way you were saying it at the end, I don't know if it's going to match exactly, but it's like...
Well, what I mean is... Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it reminds me, it's like Black Lives Matter 2, mm-hmm. not only Black Lives mm-hmm. Matter, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when the point of Black Lives Matter is that, like, we matter too. It's not to mean no one else matters.
Very good.
And so, in saying that women exist, who people exist who don't just want, just, with my quotes here, want to be mothers, doesn't mean that there are not women who want to be mothers and enjoy that. And that is just as fine as it is for the women who don't want to only identify as a mother, however the phrasing is. The point is not to exclude or demean or diminish either of those. Both experiences can exist, and that is completely fine. And yeah. just because mine is mine don't mean it has to be yours.
Yeah. Okay. So. I want to make sure I say that. It is very much so, Kenneth Hall. It is very much so, Kenneth Hall.
Who is Kenneth Hall?
He said that's very white woman oh. to like,
oh, got it.
You know, to center yeah. what you want. All right, moving on.
Hi, Melissa and Mel. First, I want to start off by saying that I love you both and I love this podcast. But I am here to pop the trunk on men that are under 5'8", a.k.a. the short kings. So I am a woman that stand proudly at 5'10", 5'11" on a good day. And I prefer my men to be my height or taller, right? I may make an exception for somebody that's 5'9", maybe 5'8", but I prefer someone my height or taller. There is a guy that I met in college. He just expressed his interest in me. He's about 5'5 or 5'6". And, you know, I told him I wasn't interested in his height being one of the reasons. And he was so hung up on the height thing. Like, he straight up called me shallow. And I don't think I fit in that category. I really don't. I'm an affectionate woman, so I would like to lay my head on my man with ease. Like, I want to lay my head on his shoulder, on his chest. Whereas with him, I feel like he will lay directly on my chest, like on my bosom. And it'll make it look like I'm breastfeeding him or nurturing him. Like,
see,
I'm not his mother,
so
and I don't
good.
Have any titty milk for him. So it would just make things a little bit Ma'am. Uncomfortable for me. And there are plenty of women that are 5 feet or 5'5". That would fit for him, right? And I get it. There are a lot of short women that prefer men that's over 6 feet, and I would never understand that. Call them shallow. Don't call me shallow. Call them shallow.
What?
I mean, I'm popping the trunk on him and
on you. Because that started off so fine, and I didn't listen to your whole thing, and I don't know if that's the pop the trunk I was going for. But however, At the beginning, I was like, oh, this is good because I would love to have a conversation about preference. And it kind of goes into Love is Blind. I would love to have a conversation about preference. Why did it get so shady at the end of that pop the trunk?
Girl, short women caught astray.
I mean,
she started off so nice to the short kings, but somewhere along the
somewhere.
Way, y'all got lined up too.
I don't understand.
The only thing is, I actually think she has a point in
it?
This preference in also being a tall woman.
Mm-hmm.
I think the point that if you are 5'5",
a brown ass,
5'3", mm-hmm. you can do a 5'8", 5'9", 5'10". You don't have to be like 6 feet yeah. and 6 feet only. You gotta leave. We gotta leave it for the 5'10", 5'11" women because they actually probably want a 6 foot, 6'1", 6'2" man.
Yeah.
I understand.
He like you.
But I know.
Give
but
him a chance.
What I was stripping on was like, but he like you. But also, you don't got to like him
you
bad.
You sure don't. Which leads into Love is Blind, honey.
Just because he like you don't mean you got to like him bad.
Nope. Nope. However,
However, I don't know if y'all watched this latest season of Love is Blind, but that woman said, so what's your, what race are you? What's your background? And that man who is of Asian descent was like, let me check my notes.
It was so uncomfortable.
He did not want to answer that question.
I found that to be really disturbing.
So I have questions. Because people had, and then she acted like it wasn't going to be a problem. Then she gave her whole, she gave her entire lineage and every person in her
family. My best friend is black.
Who has dated.
Asian, in fact.
Non-whites. Then she saw that man and said, I have to go. I need to go home. Why?
But I love you, though.
But I love you. Then they played that clip. It said 5 minutes ago, hey, I don't like Asian men. This is never going to happen.
I mean, and the attraction will never grow.
It'll never.
Just so we're abundantly clear. This is no forever.
He was in her face. That man said, are you breaking up with me? He said about 10
Three
times.
Times.
Are you breaking up for with real. Me? Are you breaking up with me? And she's, I love you. And then she left through the door and ran back, jumped in his arms, kissed him. I love you. I hate you. I never want to see you again, you Asian man, because I don't like Asians. It was awkward. Oh my gosh, what's happening on this season?
The thing about it is, I don't know why he continued to. Why didn't he have alarm bells that was like, this is giving, she probably for real don't like me. Yes. And this might actually be a problem. Yes. I don't understand why he didn't like register that as. But I also think he
the names are Patrick. The man that we're talking about is Patrick. The woman is it Annie or Anna?
Casey.
Casey.
It's Anna's the one who left.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Who left?
No. Casey and Patrick left together. Casey.
Yes, honey. Okay.
So yeah, we're talking about Casey and Patrick. The other problem that I found with Patrick is he so badly wanted to suppress the Asian-ness in him.
It's so bizarre.
And very closely align, I'm from Colorado, I'm just a bro.
It was so weird.
This skin is like, it's such a small part of who I actually am. I'm actually white. Just in Asian skin. Like, it was so weird because I feel like as sad. Black people, part, it is sad and very like internalized.
That's self-hate. How it felt. Are we off? Is it okay to like assert our opinions on this really felt like that's what was happening. But I'm curious, has he said that like, no, I love my, like, maybe I'm not articulate. Continue. I'm sorry.
I don't think so.
Okay. You think this is the, like, true?
That he has internalized self-hate?
Yes!
I actually think this is what internalized self-hate looks like.
Oh, man.
I really do. I think it's a term that's, like, thrown online quite a bit.
Yeah.
But I absolutely think...
It was awkward.
It was very awkward. Like... You were being funny earlier, but literally it was like he was checking his notes.
As you're watching, what are you looking for? What is gonna be in this notebook that's gonna jump out and say, tell her? Like if he wrote a note about her not liking Asian men before, like it was so bizarre.
It was weird.
And he took so long. And then she's like, I just find it really interesting that you're hesitating to answer the question. Well, number one, this is a show called Love is Blind. So like low key. I shouldn't tell you, but you are asking because you know how you feel.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
And I think she was trying to be reassuring, but it just made the red flag redder and bigger.
Yeah.
But like, it wasn't, instead of saying like, literally, it doesn't matter. We just found ourselves here in conversation. But if you don't want to say it, like we're at a point where this connection is, she wasn't even giving that energy.
No,
it absolutely mattered to her. And I think she was trying to convince herself that it didn't.
Yeah.
Until she saw that man.
Yes.
And all of his Asian glory in person.
Yeah.
And she said, absolutely not.
The attraction is not going to grow.
Yeah.
Oh, so awkward. I hated every minute.
Yeah, you know what was interesting? Someone, Shantae said, I wanted to see Patrick and Anna. I just want to see Patrick and Anna end up dating. I wanted them to try. So I was rooting for them this week.
But this, the other thing about them though, I felt like they wouldn't like each other.
I did too. I said, oh, y'all, the fact that they both were like, we've never dated Asian people yet we are. I said, do y'all not like each
other? It was a little bit some of that same internalized hate where it was
so
like
many questions.
Like, I wanted them to date. But I don't think they wanted to really date each other.
Yeah, yeah. If they
it was
met
weird.
Each other in person, it was like they were not going to jive. They probably have so many, like, they're very, so many things in common and very, like, able to relate to each other. But just on a romantic level. Yeah, but is that preference? That kind of goes back to the question. This is about, if I don't like what I don't like, I shouldn't be shunned for not liking what I don't like. I'm not attracted to you, bro.
You know, it's such an interesting question about where is preference? What is internalized self-hate? Mm-hmm. What is racism?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like all of these things, the problem is that preference always outs the same people. Black women are always on the outs. Mm-hmm. And apparently Asian men are always on the outs. That's what makes it feel less preferential and more like y'all hate us. Because why are we never the preference? Mm. It feels like it's deeper than just I'm 5'8", therefore I prefer a man that's taller than me. Mm. You know?
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I don't know. I don't know that I have the educational historical, yeah, yeah. You know, to articulate this.
Yeah.
But it does always expect. And we see it. We see it in all these reality dating shows. I told y'all about that reality, all the Netflix reality dating show. There is this woman on there. Y'all know I don't be watching these shows for real, even though I be watching them. What is this girl's name? Justine. Have you seen her? Mm-mm. When I tell you I do not understand why men are not falling head over heels for this woman.
On what show is this?
I don't know.
This her. Woman? Oh, Love Island USA.
She be on all the dating shows, single.
Oh.
As a $1 bill.
Yeah.
And I do not understand. I want her to actually stop going on these dating shows because I assure you there is some man out there. She is a beautiful woman.
Oh, yeah.
And I never understand why she's always on the outs. It's mind blowing to me. And that's what makes it seem like y'all just hate us. Huh. That ain't preference, because literally, what doesn't she have?
Yeah, it just I clearly hear you and think it's valid. It really watching this Love Island, Love is Blind, sorry, show had me really thinking about what is preference and when does that become, because who are we to tell you what you should like? But then when you do look at the bigger picture, the question becomes, is your like rooted in
A bigger system.
And I could see that it is. So then are you still shunned for what you like?
I think there just has to be, you know what it is? I think the problem is this. I just read something along these lines over the course of the weekend, talking about something totally different, but it applies here. That we often think that the way that we feel is very individualistic, mm, mm-hmm. and you don't actually realize it's all part of a greater system.
That's true. Okay.
And the system is what indicates the reason why Black women are always left out.
Yeah, yeah.
So while you may think individually, no, this is just my preference. I'm not a racist. I'm not a this. I'm not a that. What you don't realize is how much of your thinking is socialized,
totally.
Part of this bigger macro system that always aligns to a certain way of thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
Black women are unattractive.
Yeah, yeah.
Asian men are unattractive. Whatever. I'm throwing in the Asian man because that's how he was feeling. I'm not finna talk for y'all. I'm finna talk for this Black woman because I know that story, okay? And especially if you're a brown-skinned Black woman.
Yeah, yeah.
You're always outed. That is not individualistic.
Yeah.
That's part of the bigger system.
100%. Well, let's before we move on to the next couple, because you guys can probably guess where I want to go next.
All right.
But before we do, let's talk Revolve, another sponsor of this podcast that me and Melissa are both massive fans on. Before they even became sponsors of this podcast, we were fans of them, okay? Purchasing all the things, doing returns all, well, not all the time, but when we need to do returns because they make it so easy, we were doing that as well. So what we want to talk about is the fact that Revolve has 1,200 plus brands and 100,000 styles across fashion, beauty, and home, from high-end to emerging and exclusive labels. The latest, most sought-after trends from top brands like Helsa, Lovers and Friends, Amanda Uprichard, Norma Kamali, and a ton more, including Free People, which is another one of my faves. Authentic, high-quality products and new arrivals are daily. So somebody I saw in the comments was just asking about, they said, which ring do I have on my pointer? And if you're talking about this one, it actually came from Revolve.
It's so cute.
And that wasn't even planned. That was a literal, I saw that comment and meant to answer, but now is the perfect time to tell you that it actually came from Revolve. I thought it was cute online and ordered it and got it quickly because that's what they do.
For sure.
The recent premiere that we went to for Churchy, that mm-hmm. outfit was Revolve. I have an outfit in my closet that I'm waiting for an event to wear it to. And I have a wedding coming up and I plan on getting that outfit from Revolve as well. There are so many items super to cute. Choose from. Regardless of the event you have coming up, you can, I encourage you to look there first, and you'll get it quick because they do fast shipping. So whether it's a weekend away, a big night out, or just a little style refresh, your dream wardrobe is just one click away. Head to revolve.com/GJ.
GJ.
Shop my edit and take 15% off of your first order with code GJ. Fast two-day shipping, easy returns. Like I told y'all, it's literally the only place you need to shop from. That's revolve.com/GJ to shop my favorites and get 15% off of your first order with code GJ. Offer ends October 23rd, okay? October 23rd. So hurry up and get your orders in. Use our code and happy shopping.
Tainless Kink said, and if you have Amex offers, it's an offer there now. I just saw that and added it to my card. Well, you are correct. So do that. That was good. Who you want to talk about, Mel?
Now, there is a black couple on this show.
Go to him.
Her name is
KB. KB.
And his name is Edmund. And
I think that this is what we're going to say. I think that the casting team of Love is Blind set this man up for failure. And the comment and embarrassment.
Yes.
Because let's assume, okay, because we don't know. So this is all assumption, but we're going to walk the assumption all the way through.
Walk the assumption.
If we assume that this man is on the spectrum.
Okay.
Which is
an assumption.
An assumption.
100%.
Okay. Why would you put him on a show like this?
Yes.
Where the things that he does that are not neurotypical.
Amen.
Will have neurotypical people watching.
Yes.
And have commentary about it.
Yes.
That is unfair
okay.
to him.
I agree with that.
Because when you watch Love on the Spectrum,
oh,
you're in context.
Yes. People are saying that he has childhood trauma. People in the comments are saying he has childhood trauma, and childhood trauma can mimic autism. That's actually really interesting. I've never heard that.
Me either.
It feels like something is happening.
It does.
Regardless of what the situation is, it feels like something is happening. And that does feel unfair mm-hmm. to him and to KB, to be honest.
I agree. She is not having, because without that knowledge, you don't have footing on how to deal with this.
Yeah.
And it's unfair. It's like, we can assume he has trauma. Like, fully take the autism thing out. Not knowing that someone's trauma is making them respond a certain way.
Yes.
Act a certain way. How do I navigate this? Because I'm not accustomed to this. I'm not equipped to handle this. That's unfair.
It is unfair.
And I just feel like casting either didn't do their due diligence or they put this man in a very compromising position that is unfair to him and unfair to KB. Because to have that conversation on that bed,
about him wanting to have sex to the point of tears. To the point of actual, literal tears. You know one thing about Melissa, I love an exaggeration. And I love good hyperbolic language, all right? I love, just give me everything that makes a story sound real good and make you laugh a little bit. I'm not exaggerating. There's no hyperbole. This man sat on that bed with actual tears out of his face and said, I'm the only one that hasn't had sex.
When he said it, I said, is he a virgin? Has he never had sex? It's giving like, literally the way I was watching, I said, this was his 40-year-old version. Like, this is my opportunity. I haven't been, no girls like me in real life. So let me go on a show where, gotcha, now we're in. Now the sex, give me the sex. And when you get the girl that's not here for the sex and you have whatever package you have that comes along with who you are, you react that way. And to hear, but you had a one night stand. Why won't you do it with me? Literally. I was like, something is going on here. Something is happening.
Literally.
Right now.
Right in front of my face.
Do something.
Literally. It wasn't, someone said the producer are exploiting it. I think that's the best way. I think that's the best way to say it.
I agree.
Because even putting that in the edit.
Yes, it was cringy. Like,
it was so uncomfortable. It was so, and she handled it really well because producer, do y'all see what's going on?
Yes.
So what? Huh.
Well, yes. She's a social worker, so now it just feels like he's her client.
Yeah. She's being very patient.
You know what? I didn't think about that, but you're probably right. Her professional instincts probably have kicked in. She's not in a romantic relationship with him.
She's like helping. Yeah, him work through
that's
this.
Such a good point.
Because her response was just one I wouldn't have had.
Right. Me either.
And I was like, oh, look at her being.
He said, "I am giving you my all." And you slept with these people.
She was like, what that got to do with you? It was very, it is very bizarre. The other interesting conversation that happened before, I think it was before the sex conversation, was her, and now thinking back, I'm like, is she filling him out? Because she asked him at that table, if another man, big burly man, comes and grabs me, what you gonna do? And he was so adverse to conflict. Like, I would say, babe, let's go. Yeah, but he's grabbing me. Well, you should get your arm back. Yeah, but he is. Okay, forget he's not big. He's your size. Yeah, you should walk away. Yeah. Walk away, ma'am. I don't know why you're asking me this silly question, because nothing's gonna happen. Yeah. And I was like, first of all, I get you asking, but that's like, don't ask that question. But is that a question? Maybe not on TV. Anyway, his response, now I'm like, well, is she tapping into something happening? Yeah. And so she's trying to ask these questions. I don't know. The whole thing is so bizarre. It feels so exploitative. It feels so gross. I have so many questions.
I say defund Love is Blind. Oh, like, literally, man. I think we're there. I think the point of Love is Blind was Lauren and Cameron, and God bless the other couples that have also made it, you know, post the experiment. But I think
it's time.
Yeah, I think we can.
It's time.
We can wrap this up. I think it's time. The other last thing, I'm super interested to hear everybody's thoughts on this. The Joe, what was his name? Joe and Madison.
Well, he was drunk at the hotel. And then she like came in concerned, and he's like, who are you? Is it 2020? Who's the president? What? And then she's crying. I said, yo, this is the dumbest shit. I hate this show.
It's so dumb. But Mel, did you really think he was drunk still?
No. That man don't like her.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Okay, good.
He don't because like that girl.
I was seeing online where people were very much saying like she was over, and I agree actually, Loki. She was doing a lot with all the crying and da-da-da-da-da. But at the same time, I don't think that man was still drunk. I think he was playing
games. He slept.
all
what
day.
Do you do when you're drunk and you need to sober up? You go to sleep. You did not sleep for hours and then still be drunk. You're lying.
And then when he woke up and he thought she was gone, yes. when he was standing there, he was like normal.
Yes.
And I was like, how did you just go from being like, what is today? I don't understand. I said the same thing 35 times and now she's crying. And I just am still just waking up. And then she's out of sight and all of a sudden you snap back in. I said, you're playing games with her. I don't know why. Well, probably because he don't like her.
He like her.
Cause did he also say she's bigger? Is he the one that said that?
He was like, I usually like small, but you know, I'm not complaining. Yes, you are. Why even say it if it's not on your mind? Because you are not into that girl. That's what's happening. People are saying that they thought he was on something. I did too. When he kept asking the same question like 10 times, I said, or maybe he's high.
I thought he was playing
games. That's the other option.
I thought that man was fine. So there, everyone, which is fine, because that's most people are saying what y'all are saying, to be honest, that he was either still drunk or he was high. I honestly thought he was neither and he was acting.
I still think he don't like her. But I think it's a mix of all of the above.
I think it's option D.
And that's the other thing I find really, one thing they did this season, though. I got to go pick up Joe in a minute. Is that, and then we can move on to this next one show. I'm going to say this last thing. You notice they had that doggone producer come out and say, it's your life.
Yeah, they did. And the fact that them two people left on the same day and one of the other people was like, I was thinking about leaving the other day. He's like, you was? I said, there must have been a day where it was like, hey, if you want to get out, today's the day. Mm-hmm. Here's your first chance. And people are taking, hey, I'll leave.
Well, one of them said that the producers encouraged them that if you don't feel a connection, like if you're not
feeling
it at all, to go.
They tired of settling.
They said, put this on camera.
Yeah.
Let these people know.
Let them go.
Let them go home.
We can move on, but I just need to say the man who's, I'm a dad, I'm a poppy, I'm a father.
Who?
You know them. Yeah, he got all the tests.
Oh.
The only father.
Yes, yes, yes.
He got with Megan.
Sparkle Megan.
And, you know, Joe, it wasn't Joe, Mike. Mike was all sad because she chose that I'm a poppy guy. I don't think they're going to work. I think he too broke for her.
I think he's a gold digger.
Really?
I thought that the reason he changed his mind on her was because he was interested in the lifestyle that she could provide. But what often happens when men don't have money is that ego can't take a woman with money.
Yeah, but if you a daddy, he might be.
I 100%. I was like, this is giving you with her for, because he was the one who was fixated on her car.
Yeah, he kept asking what kind of car it was.
Uh-huh.
And he was like,
As soon as they came out, they were all like, that's a nice Hermes bracelet. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think they was clocking her tea.
I think she's not going to be able to work it out because she said she was with somebody who was damn near a billionaire. This man has a Kia.
But she got money, too, because she said she went shopping for a $2 million house.
I agree. But that's what I'm saying. She needs money and he don't have none.
Right. But I think what's going to happen is, but see, this is the difference between men and the women, though. When a man has money and a woman doesn't, she'd be like, well, let's get the $2 million house, baby. Yeah. Let's do it. He is going to be like, we don't need this house. It's too much. How come you need so many things? Because you're Sparkle Megan. And how come we just can't be Sterling Silver Megan.
Uh-huh. Sterling Silver
like,
Megan.
I just feel like he is going to, you remember that Married at First Sight season? And was it Married at First Sight? Actually, I was going to go to a different couple. I'm going to go to this couple because it was definitely Married at First Sight. That black woman who owned a med spa. Y'all remember?
No.
So it was a black woman. She owned a med spa, had a bunch of money, and she was with this broke man. Mm-hmm. And all he did all season was lie, gaslight, and be belittling to her the entire season because his ego could not take that she had money and he did it.
My girl, MM.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Because at the end, remember, she was like,
oh, I know the letter.
Yes.
Oh, I know the letter.
It was her.
Oh, I didn't know.
But you don't remember that whole season?
No, I only remember the final episode where she wrote him a letter and said, I would wish you good things, but nothing I wish you is going to put you in any further position than you are right now. So I wish you nothing.
That whole season. Dust. He was condescending. He was belittling. He was gaslighting.
Oh, that's my girl.
And he could not take. It was like, you're going to cater tacos. We can just make tacos.
Yeah, yeah.
Why does it have to be all of that? Why can't we just make tacos? I feel like that's the energy he's going to have.
She said, I would wish you well, but my well wishes won't be what gets you any further than where you are in life. So I wish you nothing but the worst.
I said, bitch, why would you say that to anyone? It is now my pinned tweet because that is how I feel about everybody. I wish for good things. I wish good things for good people. For the rest of you, I wish you nothing but the worst.
That's stupid.
Oh, it was like a villain. It was like a villain line.
Why would you say it was two parts, though. I would wish you the best, but my well wishes won't do anything extra for you.
It's not going to help you. And so.
And that wasn't the end, though.
No, and so.
And so, instead, what I will offer is
the worst.
The worst.
Ah, so good. She gave him advice and said, and I won't even send you a bill for it. I won't even invoice you. Oh, that's the best thing. If you haven't seen this, the best thing I've ever seen in my life. Okay. The thing we can leave on, because Love is Blind is going to be a time. We're going to talk about that again. We don't have to talk about Salt Lake City, but it's my favorite. It's the best thing. And when they were at that table and Lisa Barlow said, I live a different life than all of you. and Heather or Whitney, one of them was at the table. And she was like, we're the same. Like,
no, you don't.
Bitch, we both have thigh-high boots on. What are you talking about? It was just so, Lisa Barlow is so funny. And then she had a whole party. With dismissed on post-divorce.
Dismissed.
But the lawsuit ain't dismissed.
All except for that one.
The last one is not dismissed, girl. Like, oh, I love that show. Okay.
Anne Braun is for the energy this season.
Oh,
she is not letting up.
They were at that table for that party, and she was like, so why are we here? what do you want us to get out of this party? That you want to talk about me? You want to know about me? Now we can do it. And Brown was like, what? These are poster boards. And that yacht you're on is from 30 years ago. It's a houseboat. I was like, damn.
I didn't know that there was a difference.
I was like, oh, wait. What? A houseboat.
Oh, okay.
Oh. So, okay. She was on one 20 years ago? Okay.
Must be nice.
I didn't know that was the read to say that. It was.
And that was a houseboat.
Yeah. Oh. The ladies are so funny. Oh, I love that show. It's so good. And Mary was over there like, Mary walked into that party. She said, it's blurry. I can't even read.
Where's the clarity?
It's hurting my eyes. I can't even read this. Everybody is silly on that show. Everyone is silly. Oh, it's so
good. Mary says the stupidest stuff, but she be reading you about the dumbest. And she be like, why is that frayed? Why are you on my shirt like that? Like, mind your business.
This is a lunch?
Up.
Oh, okay. It's a lunch, I guess. She's so funny. Like, unintentionally funny. I love everyone on the show. It's the best thing ever. Okay, and then I know Potomac started. I haven't watched yet.
I watched. There's a show that's recently out called On Brand.
Oh.
It's Jimmy Fallon and Bazoma St. John, marketer. And it's all about marketing. And so I just wanted to encourage people to watch it because I thought it was very interesting.
What is it on?
NBC, maybe.
Oh, it's regular television.
Yeah.
It's the first season.
Yes. There's two episodes out, but they have this group of people who are basically it reminded me of The Apprentice. You know how like they had to come up with like campaigns for companies?
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of what it is, where they come up with a campaign for a company. So Southwest, as an example, the first episode is Dunkin' Donuts. Dunkin' Donuts has like a new product and they want this team to come up with like the campaign and the branding for it. And so each person pitches, they pick the best kind of two or three pitches, and then the teams kind of build out the execution of it. And it has been really, really interesting because of the people who are on the show. Mm. There's like a really young girl who is a content creator. So her ideas feel very like fresh. There's a guy on there. They seem to be the best one so far. There's also a professor, which is really interesting to see because he teaches marketing. But what's really clear is that I don't know if he
he's old school, and it feels it's dated. Scary to think that he's the one teaching marketers marketing because you need the real life today, and he doesn't have it. And so his ideas, his execution has been bad. So anyway, it's a fun show if you are, they're saying Anne Peacock. It's a fun show if you want to tap into something new.
Okay. Very good. Last thing I want to say, we are in the middle of a literal actual government takeover.
Oh, Lord.
And so I have decided that I needed to review history. And so I started watching all things about Nixon.
Richard?
Yes, correct. Tricky Ricky. And or whatever they call him, Tricky
Dicky.
Oh, that's it.
Oh, because Dick is a nickname yes. for Richard.
I was like, I don't think it's Ricky, but I couldn't think of what it was. That man was crazy.
Was he?
Yes, the Watergate is crazy.
Oh, I didn't know.
Melanie, somebody's wife was kidnapped.
I will spit this water out.
What? Yes.
On behalf of him?
Yes. Oh, to prevent her from talking.
This is great.
Because she knew, like, literally, I was like, Mel should, I mean, you can't do I'm not a lawyer because it's old, but like.
No, I would. This is rich.
Melanie, kidnapping happened. There was burglary. Well, that's what started the whole thing off. But the man was so paranoid, he taped, had tape, what's the word when you record voices?
A recorder?
Sure. He had recorders all throughout the White House. So all his conversations were recorded. And then when they subpoenaed to have the tapes, they removed 18 minutes of it.
That's funny.
And they still haven't been recovered today.
And they've never been heard?
No.
This is great.
It is. I'm about to send you. So I started watching The President's Men or something like that. All the President's Men. One thing about Leah, she be knowing the stuff.
I was gonna say, Leah, she go know it every time.
She be knowing the stuff.
She ain't no Fantasia won that season, though. You let me sit up here and say that in that wrong information.
So did I in real time watch that whole first couple seasons. Same. Me too.
You didn't know Ruben either. We was just in here wrong.
One thing about it, I watched that in real time. Anyways, yes, he bugged. So I started watching All the King's Men. What?
All the President's Men.
All the President's Men. All the President's Men. Yeah, I think yeah, whatever it is. And then The Post. And then I was like, you know what? I need a little bit more context before I go into it all the best. So I went on TikTok.
Oh, Lord.
And these two girls did a little like summary.
Oh, really?
Melanie, I was. So that was really going on in the United States of America?
Wow.
So good. And now I'm convinced something's happening right now. Oh, that's all sure. I actually wanted to tell you is catch up on the Watergates. All right. Catch up and then assess what's happening right now. Something's happening. Somebody's being kidnapped right now.
Somebody's
being kidnapped currently as we speak. That's all I'm saying. Somebody knows something, but they ain't going to be able to say it.
Believe it. I believe it.
All right.
All right. Bye.
She said it already happened. It did, just but still catch up if you don't know about it, though.
Hilarious.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.